gentlemen. Sean Kane back at it again here for you. The Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. We're talking main slate now. It is Thursday, and hopefully you're already in on this early slate. I got a couple lineups out there, and Adam Frazier is our first dinger of the day here up against Bartolo. And we said, hey, Adam Frazier, he's got dinger potential. He's got pop at the top of that lineup. Him and Josh Bell, those are the Pirates that you wanted. So hopefully maybe you threw him in one of your lineups that got to listen to the show just before you made some lines there. We're going to go ahead and look at the main slate. But before we do that, I do want to do, you know, our standard procedure of, you know, going back and looking at yesterday's lineup, see if there's anything we can learn. One of these nights. So yesterday was kind of a tough slate, to be honest with you. You know, Chris Sale pitched a good, I think, real life baseball game. Didn't show the K upside that we were really hoping for against Texas, and I think that's, you know, just because, you know, you're looking at Texas as a team that basically they're like, okay, we have, you know, we really know that Chris Sale is a strikeout guy. We want to be careful here. We're not going to swing the bats too hard. We're not going to chase. They tried to be disciplined, you know, and they ended up with, you know, a couple earned runs here and there, a couple hits. They made some contact, waited for some pitches, and, you know, just kind of took what came to them. And, you know, credit to Texas, but, you know, obviously didn't win that game after the Red Sox went on that rally in the seventh inning. You know, and there was just kind of some bummers of games. And, you know, if you didn't have Red Sox or Pirates, it was kind of a lame outing, to be completely honest with you. Really was not very exciting. You know, Colorado was the one team that we were on that did well. We talked about the Mets. We talked about the Rays. Of course, the Rays production came from the back half of the lineup, the guys that I didn't discuss, Souza and Rasmus, who, you know, normally I feel very comfortable with Steven Souza and Colby Rasmus. You know, and I knew Nolasco gave up home runs. I'm not usually picking six and seven hitters, especially in a lineup that I'm not, you know, stacking one through eight. The team that I was stacking one through eight was the Yankees. And one through four, the Yankees basically did nothing. Luckily, you know, Didi Gregorius was the only dinger that I ended up with, you know, and you add to that, you know, there was just kind of, there wasn't a lot out there. There wasn't a lot of production. Adam Frazier had a really, really good game in Pittsburgh, and they ended up putting up massive number there. It was just kind of a bummer of a night. Just kind of not that fun, to be honest with you. Not a lot of dingers. And, you know, I think there's a couple things that we can take away if we look at some of the trends. Like, I'm looking at the week as a whole. So one of the notes that I made in the cheat sheet yesterday was every single night this week, the top scoring offenses have been lower owned teams. And once again, it happens here. Okay. People were on last night. They were all over Houston. We were all over Chicago. We were all over, not Chicago, excuse me. People like Chicago all the time. They were all over Houston. They were all over Chicago, and Boston to a degree. People were on Boston. That's for sure. People were into that matchup, you know, and Colorado, you know. So like we were interested in Colorado and the Yankees. Excuse me, and the Yankees didn't produce. The top producing offense is the Pirates. And then previously, you know, you had your top fantasy offenses probably being the Rockies at one point and the Twins at one point. The point is that you do have to embrace the variance and expect the odds of something like that, like the Pirates scoring 12 runs, of not being as high as, say, the Yankees scoring 12 runs just based on statistics and measurables. But what you understand is that you have massive leverage on the field if you say, listen, the probability of the Pirates scoring 12 runs and the Yankees getting blanked is very low. But if I'm on that point, then obviously I'm going to be, you know, very successful in this situation. So it's a complicated balance of leverage and, you know, leveraging and finding the right spots. And I think, you know, we want to take the obvious and well-known spots, and we want to trace stats, and we want to understand exactly, you know, what linear thinking is with our bats. But at the same time, we also have to kind of embrace the randomness of baseball and just expect that things are going to be weird. And that's for sure. And Chris Sale scoring, you know, only 40 points versus Luis Severino's 55. That was definitely strange, you know, very strange. So there's a lot of things that are happening kind of that are unexpected. You on a regular basis have to be willing to open your mind to the possibility that a team that you completely overlook is going to be the top scoring team on the night. And that's kind of what I am, you know, you have to be willing to take some dart throws, get out there, take some chances every once in a while. And, you know, they will pay off here and there. If you find a team that, you know, not only do you think that there's some traction for the bats, but also that there's a possibility that they go low owned and overlooked. And, you know, I successfully managed that with the Rockies on Wednesday night, and then the Twins on Tuesday night, or excuse me, on Tuesday and Monday nights. Last night overlooked the Pirates, and they were the ones that got it going against Atlanta. So, you know, finding leverage spots and figuring out where people aren't going to be putting their money is really important. We're going to continue to try to target that and learn to take risks and think for ourselves, because that's kind of what baseball lends itself to more than anything else, because the chalk is susceptible to the same variance that, you know, the good teams are. They're going to see the same number of pitches. They're going to see the same opportunities for hits. That's the only thing that's predictable. What happens when the barrel hits the ball is completely unpredictable. So definitely an interesting thing to try and figure out here. You know, it's finding those leverage spots is certainly a challenge, but we definitely have to do it, and we're going to continue to try to do it, because that's what's fun. You know, that's what's really fun. And when you do it, you're going to be really successful, and nobody can catch up with you. So we're looking at the late slate tonight. Let's go ahead and jump in and figure out what we're going to do with these five games. All right, so we have Rangers-Red Sox, last of this series, and it is a gross night in Boston. There's going to be light rain from basically 5 o'clock until midnight. So hopefully this one doesn't get postponed, but it definitely is not looking favorable. 9 runs projected, though, if this goes. Nick Martinez going up against Drew Pomeranz. Pomeranz is a heavy favorite, not because I think of his stuff necessarily, although the Rangers do struggle with lefties. It's probably because Nick Martinez is going to not be able to get anybody out. And when you can't get anyone out on the Red Sox, that's when they kill you. They haven't hit a home run in a while, but they've clearly shown that they don't need to hit home runs. They just string together base hits. They run the bases. They're aggressive on the base paths, and they just keep doing it. You know, they score runs, and it's interesting. Pedroia and Bogaerts just kind of get that whole engine going, and they've been super productive of late. Just get on base, get people to knock them in, move the base paths, and they just keep turning the lineup over. So it's you know, it's clearly the way this team wants to play, and it's pretty effective, and don't strike out, and we'll just keep the base paths moving. And Nick Martinez is definitely going to struggle with that tonight because he can't get anyone out. San Diego versus the Mets. This series continues. 7.5 runs projected here. Jacob DeGrom is one of the heaviest favorites on the slate against Dinelson Lamet, young guy coming up from Triple A from San Diego. His interesting numbers, but the problem with this game, as beautiful as it would be to pitch DeGrom against the woeful Padres, is there's massive, massive storms moving into New York. The same storms that canceled the Yankees game are going to be hovering over Queens and City Field. So 50% chance rain, moving all the way up to a 70% chance of rain as the game goes along. Not sure if this one's going to play, which is a bummer because DeGrom is in such a good spot. And as are the Mets bats, because they have been very serviceable and pretty productive, and you'd love to start them against a rookie like Lamet and then banged up bullpen like the Padres. Tigers Astros, 9 runs projected in this one, and that's a pretty high total. Michael Fears getting favored over Justin Verlander, and that is a sign of the times, my friend. Mr. Verlander is slowly but surely reaching the end of the line in this one. His numbers just aren't there. It's just not there. Everything that you want to be up is down, and everything you want to be down is up. It's just not a good spot for Verlander right now. He's given up multiple hits and multiple runs in his last couple games. You know, the Ks just aren't there for him. You know, he still has velocity. He's just not quite locating. And I think that's the thing. You know, he's interesting. He still throws the ball really damn hard. People are hitting him now. And it's just not... He's not getting the swings that he once got. Fears is the one of the top leaders in home runs allowed here. So this game is really interesting. The fact that he's favored tells you a lot about Verlander and the Houston's offense. But I would put my money on the Tigers in this one. In fact, I may scuffle over to make a quick bet over there and figure out if there's anything productive that I can do with my money this evening, other than fantasy baseball, and maybe just bet on regular baseball for funsies. So that game should be interesting. Definitely a stack candidate. Obviously no weather to worry about in Minute Maid Park. Arizona-Milwaukee, 8.5 runs projected here as Robbie Ray goes up against Zach Davies. Robbie Ray, just a little bit of a favorite, which is interesting. Vegas, a lot of numbers right now, really not in Robbie Ray's favor. He reminds me of, in his profile, reminds me of Rick Porcello. Really, really great strikeout stuff. Filthy K rates, stringing strike rates, all that good stuff. But the contact rates are really not good. Like, so you kind of are playing with fire as far as making him your pitcher. So definitely interesting. You know, certainly a candidate that, you know, will attract some attention because he's not going to have the weather problems that some of these other pitchers are going to have. I don't know how much Robbie Ray I'll talk about it. I'll talk about Robbie Ray. Zach Davies, on the other hand, struggles. And it's interesting to think about what we might do with the Diamondbacks away from home. You know, Chase Field is such an advantage, and their prices don't really adjust. I mean, the peripheral guys, they did, you know, the Owings and the Drurys of the world, their prices have adjusted, but, you know, Goldie and Lamb are still above 4K, you know, as they should be. Paul Goldschmidt has one of the highest hard contact rates in the league. And is just mashing baseballs and deserves a lot of credit for that. The Cardinals versus the Dodgers. This is the nightcap here. 7.5 runs projected. Lowest total on the slate. Michael Wacha going up against Kenta Maeda. Interesting spot for the Cardinals. They got that W last night against Rich Hill, which is impressive. Good for them. You know, it's a... This is a hard one to project, and I'll talk about Kenta Maeda. And, you know, you'd like to say that the Dodgers lefties are in a good spot, but don't really know what I can expect from them against Michael Wacha, who has been kind of consistent, inconsistent, don't really know how to describe him. You know, I guess average to good would be, you know, like above average is the way that you would describe him. You know, there's definitely some numbers in his favor, and there's nothing that stands out about him that you're kind of like, ooh, let's attack that. Cause the K rate is there. The walks aren't there. You know, Sierra and XFIP are down. Batted ball data is fine. Not allowing hard contact, you know, so Waka's in a good spot. He's not giving anything up to anybody, really. So definitely a hard game to project here. in LA. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into this slate breakdown and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, so obviously I'm going to talk about it, and it's not hard. I mean, you could have looked at the slate and you would have figured it out yourself. DeGrom against the Padres, okay? Scorching hot take. I'm starting DeGrom against the Padres. And at this point, I could sing you the lyrics to Baby Beluga, which I have memorized because I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. But there's nothing else to say. So I'm not going to sing Baby Beluga, but I am going to say start DeGrom against the Padres in Citi Field. Okay. Like let's just go for that. Problem is obviously weather, but let's say that there wasn't any weather. Okay. 32% K rate, 15% swinging strike rate. Yes, there's some contact issues. Yes, he gets a couple hard hits every game. But that's, you know, hey, that's Chris Sale too. These guys who throw the ball real hard, every once in a while, somebody gets barrel on it and that ball goes. Great ballpark. No one's hitting him right now. Padres are the worst team in baseball against left-handed pitching. Everyone knows it. The thing is to their credit, they don't strike out against lefties that much. They're actually down to 21%, so good for them. They're slowing down the Ks, but I mean, the WRC plus is like a 72. There's no power there. It's kind of pitiful. So, you know, not good stuff for old DeGrom, or excuse me, for the old Padres there against DeGrom. Should be a long night for them. If that rain comes in and cancels that game, that may be the best thing that could happen for the Padres. And that's a very distinct possibility. So let's pretend that maybe you don't get to play DeGrom against the Padres. Fine. I think you got to look at Kenta Maeda, obviously, against St. Louis. He's pitching really well right now. 24% K rate, 15% swinging strike rate. That's excellent. He's going up against the Cardinals. Cardinals are average across the board against right-handed pitching. Just dead middle of the pack. I mean, they're like 16th in the league in everything. 20% K rate, 9% walk rate, 101 WRC+, plus, not a ton of power, but, you know, everything is just average. They're just dead middle of the pack, to be completely honest with you. Excuse me, I said left-handed pitching. I meant right-handed pitching. The thing about Maeda is, I don't know, like we've seen him in the last couple starts and we've been like, oh man, he's pitching great. Yeah, he's pitching great in his last three starts. And his last three starts were against the Padres, the Pirates, and the Phillies. Okay. Padres offense, very underwhelming. Pirates offense, very underwhelming. And but strangely difficult to predict. Like some days they strike out a ton. Some days they don't strike out at all. Like for example, the Pirates struck out like 10 times against Maeda when they were in LA, okay? But then they come into Arizona and they go up against Robbie Ray and they don't strike out at all. And, you know, like, I don't really know what to do with this team. Like, they'll score one run or they score 12, like, or there's just the lineup, like, they're starting to figure it out with these young guys. I have no idea. I don't know what to say about the Pirates. All I know is that they're not a threatening lineup. And Maeda took them to task. And the Phillies, we've seen what happens. They've made the freaking Rockies rotation look like they're going to win the pennant. They're not the Cardinals. They're none of these teams are as good as the Cardinals, which is like not that high of a bar to set. So I don't know. You know, the thing about Maeda is he does struggle against lefties. Like, they get to him. If anybody's going to get to him, they're going to get to him. Matt Carpenter, you know, obviously can hit. And Yurko is a reverse splits guy. He hits righties better than lefties. Like, they did it with Rich Hill last night. Like, they got to him early and often and got Rich Hill out of the game and held the lead. You know, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I think given the limited innings, given the limited data, given the cold feet, I'm like not in love. But if you had to play a pitcher tonight and DeGrom's rained out, I think that's interesting. It's definitely a spot that people are going to look at. That's for sure. I think the other one is Robbie Ray. And obviously Robbie Ray is a great fantasy baseball name. People love this man because he's got massive K upside. okay? And especially away from Chase. You're like, oh, well, he's going to limit the damage away from Chase. Yeah, that's definitely true. Here's the problem. He's got a really elevated walk rate right now. 12% walk rate to go with his 28% K rate. Obviously, 12% swinging strike rate and 28% K rate are excellent. And Milwaukee strikes out at a lot. They strike out 25% of the time at, against left-handed pitching. That's beautiful. I love it. You know, he has faced some great opponents on the road, too, and had success. I mean, the Nationals game was one of the moments where I was just like, I'm not doing this. They're one of the best teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. What does he do? He goes out and he smokes them. You know, and to that point, on the road, Ray has been excellent. His K rate jumps up to 32%, and it's only three games. It's a small sample. And his batted ball data obviously improves because away from Chase, everybody's batted ball data improves. But when you're looking at all that stuff, like the batted ball data in general isn't that good. And this is why I compared him to Rick Porcello, right? You have a guy with K upside, but you have a guy who gets hit. And hitters get around him and they can get to him and kind of ruin the upside. Because they can put runners on, put pressure on the base pass. Every once in a while, he'll let one go out of the park. You know, you're reading these trends in his game logs and his walk rates and all this kind of stuff, and you just kind of like don't know what to do with him. And you don't know what to do with the Brewers either. I mean, they have been dangerous at times and lackluster at times. You know, they're a tough team to read, too. I mean, they could go out and score eight runs. They could go out and score three, you know, and they swing a lot. Well, you know, they're kind of like the Rays in this respect. Like, they hit the ball really hard, but they strike out a lot. So which version of them are you going to get? I'm not really sure. I think one of the guys that you can definitely look at is Pomerantz. If this game goes, Pomerantz is in an interesting spot because Texas is very bad against left-handed pitching. And there's strikeout upside in Pomerantz. Like, and he's cheap. Like, I think he is like tonight's Kyle Hendricks. And Kyle Hendricks did exactly what I expected him to do. Quality start, win, got a couple Ks, got in, you know, didn't give up too many runs, 30 points. You know, that's kind of what you expected from Kyle Hendricks, and you got what you paid for. And I think Pomerantz is the same thing. You know, 5 Ks, 6 innings, 2 earned, 3 earned runs, 25 to 35 fantasy points, depending on whether or not he gets the win, you know, and depending on whether or not that game plays, because you get a 60% chance of rain basically from 5 o'clock on. So it's just kind of an ugly slate, you know, and I'm like, you look around at some of the other names. I mean, I'm not touching this Detroit-Houston game. I'm not touching Verlander. Don't touch him. Zach Davies, nope. Michael Wacha, maybe, because he's just kind of consistent and under the radar. You know, maybe you get 40 points and the Dodgers just don't really do it because they're banged up right now. I'm not really sure what to say about that. But then again, you're going to pitch a righty against the Dodgers lefties. They're just kind of cold. I mean, except for Yasmani Grandal. Like, Corey Seager and Cody Bellinger just kind of haven't really done anything recently. And that's kind of what that makes that offense go. When those two guys go yard, that's when that offense starts going. So, I don't know. It's a tough slate to break down. I mean, obviously, DeGrom is there. But, you know, I think it's Robbie Ray for me. And I think it has to be, right? I mean, maybe Pomerantz and Cash, if you really want to, like, just say, I'm just going to take the damage and move on. But I think Maeda's upside is limited. I don't know. It's hard. It's going to be hard. One of these pitchers is going to win people a lot of money. One of these pitchers is going to win people a lot of money. It's interesting. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about the sticks now, because the bats are in a lot better position on this slate than the arms are. We're looking at, you know, a stud stack, cash game viable, got to pay up for him, want four bats. I think we're talking about Boston opposite Nick Martinez. Martinez can't strike anyone out. We said that. And when the Red Sox see pitchers that can't strike anybody out, they are very dangerous. Ask Andrew Cashner. They're not hitting for power. I mean, nobody's hitting the ball out of the yard. That's for sure. This is not the Diamondbacks. This is not the Rockies, like, where you get, you know, pretty much one or two home runs a game guaranteed at the Tigers or something like that. You're just not going to get that. But that's why you stack them, because the correlation in the points are there. They're an ideal stacking candidate because, you know, guys like Dustin Pedroia and Xander Bogaerts are putting up points like they're scoring home runs every night, but they're not. They're getting on base and they're getting RBIs and they're getting runs scored. And they're doing that two or three times a game, you know, and they're putting up, you know, anywhere between 12 and 25 points on a regular basis just because they're part of a productive offense that goes, you know, straight down through the lineup. you know, he struggles with lefties, Martinez does. So we're definitely interested in, you know, we're definitely interested in Moreland and Benintendi to start, who are very solid against right-handed pitching at 4 and 6. They'll be in the 4 and 6 hole. I think if you want to try to play with a little bit of the power upside, it's Mookie or Hanley. Hanley should be in there, and he's cheap. It's just Hanley hasn't hit anybody lately, and he hasn't left the yard recently. But, you know, maybe this is the spot. Maybe this is the night. You know, there's going to be a night. It's like with him and Miggy. There's going to be a night when they leave the yard. Now, I think tonight, Miggy is the one who leaves the yard. And if you're playing Mitch Moreland, you can't play either of them because they're all at first base. First base is like the most tilting position because there's just so many people you want to play there every night. But obviously, Mookie has power upside. He's the one guy who has hit some dingers this year for them. But I don't know. I mean, he's just kind of inconsistent. You know, I think I'm just as attracted to Xander Bogaerts and Dustin Pedroia, who have just been getting on base and taking walks and, you know, doing their thing to string together some of these rallies. You know, I think it's like Xander, Benintendi, and Pedroia for me. Is that infield and one outfielder? That's a pretty nice little thing. And then maybe I take one more bat in there. You know, that's an interesting little stack. I think that's three man plus one more guy, depending on how my lineups fill out. Very interesting to me. So if I'm moving on to the Grout, some guys that are, you know, kind of a maybe a little bit more priced, a little bit better. And actually, I don't know if they're priced better. They're priced comparably, but I'll say this. Detroit against Mike Fears. Fears is one of the league leaders in home runs surrendered. 34% home run to fly ball ratio, which is really bad news against the Tigers, who are leading the league in hard contact against right-handed pitching. This is it, baby. Let's go, Tigers. It's time. It's time. Fears has given up a dinger in every single game this year. 6 of 8 were multi-homer games. He has also a record 4-homer game on his resume this year. Good for him, huh? That's kind of fun. It's a fun stat. Everything else about the guy is below average. Below average K rate, above average walk rate, above average hard contact, above average, obviously, fly ball rate. The worst part about this is you look at the splits for Fears, it's like, it's just right-handed bats just destroy the man. 40% hard contact and a 50% fly ball rate. If half of these fly balls to righties are, if he gives up 50% fly balls to righties and 30% of those are home runs and 80% of the Tigers lineup is fucking righties, like the home run probability is just massive here. So give me the power righties, man. Kingsler, Miggy, Upton, JD Martinez, like, give me all the Miguel Cabrera. Give me all the Miguel Cabrera. Give me all the James McCann. Even James McCann. Give me all the JD Martinez. I mean, just like, let's go. Let's go, Tigers. And don't forget Nick Castellanos. He sat out last night. I don't know what that injury thing is that he's dealing with. But he sat out last night. But Castellanos is like a StatCast darling as far as exit velocity and batted ball events goes. He just kind of is unlucky. Him and Miguel Cabrera, like, they crush the ball. They're just not, it's not leaving the park. Maybe when it gets a little bit warmer. Houston's a good spot for that, though. Should be. It'd be really nice if they opened the roof down there because it's like 80 degrees and the wind is blowing out. But they're not going to. In fact, I don't even know if they have the possibility to open the roof in Minute Maid Park. Let's look that up. Minute Maid Park roof. Yeah, it opens. Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, it opens. I don't know if they're going to open it, though. Probably close. It mostly stays close. It's just so damn hot in Houston. All right. Mets are in an interesting spot at two. Okay. Anytime you get a young starter like this, Dinelson Lamet, very, very interesting name. I don't know how to say it, but I'm saying it. Dinelson Lamet. And I think it's probably, I don't know, maybe he's Haitian or something like that. Pretty cool. But he's a new guy. He's got actually tons of strikeout. His data from AAA is really like, whoa, 29% K rate. Problem is he's got 11% walk rate, and he's never pitched in the majors. Never. So we have no splits on him. We have nothing there. But I'm okay with the Mets lefties these days. They're very productive, and they're going up against this new kid. So due to Conforto, obviously. His slash line is insane. The stats on Conforto right now are just mind-boggling. Lucas Duda, cheap and productive recently. Daniel Wright is a switch hitter. He's right in the middle of that order. Jay Bruce has been dealing with a back thing, so I don't know if he's going to be playing. I don't know if I want to play an injured power hitter, especially back. Backs are bad. So that's not that interesting to me. What is interesting, however, is Granderson and Reyes, not because they're like, really, really, really great. I said Wright, like Daniel Wright was playing. No, not Daniel Wright. Neil Walker. I'm sorry. Daniel Wright has been injured for what, 20 years? Jose Reyes and Curtis Granderson are interesting because of the salary relief. So if you want to tack somebody into that stack, depending on where you are, I think that is a good possibility as well. I mean, there's just a lot of cheap Mets out there. There's a lot of cheap Mets right now. And guess who else is just slugging everybody? Wilmer Flores, man. I mean, dude, last night, he had 3 RBIs. And we're like, oh, we only play Wilmer Flores against the... We only play Wilmer Flores against lefties. Now you play Wilmer Flores against everybody right now because he's hitting the ball really well. So that's a really cool stat. If you want to pivot, this is an interesting spot. And this is what we were talking about and trying to find places where people, maybe won't play bats. Okay. There's a couple of things. I think 3 spots where just based on name value alone, or situation that people may not gravitate towards playing these guys, but they're still possibly productive. And the first one is the Astros. And obviously, you guys know I love talking about the Astros, and they haven't really been doing a lot lately. Without Correa in the lineup, I think they've really struggled, to be honest with you. And I don't know if we can expect him back, but if he's back, that's great. If he's not, then fine. But Verlander's struggling. He's got an elevated walk rate, depressed K rate. His xFIP is 4.3. He's seeing career highs in fly balls, hard contact, line drive. He's not getting the ball on the ground. His ground ball rate is like below 30%. And he's not getting shelled, but every single game he's giving up hits. Every single game he's giving up runs. And I think, the idea here is maybe you get a dinger or two out of that lineup and then, they get to a bullpen. And they're too good to continue to only score 3 runs a game. I think that's one. I think people will be like, oh, they're playing against Verlander. Don't do that. Well, maybe you do. Maybe it's one-offs. Maybe it's a pair of guys, just to kind of be contrarian. The other one is Arizona. Obviously, they're going up against Zach Davies, who's not a great pitcher. He's very below, substantially below average in everything. But when they're away from Chase and their prices are that high, I think people are going to kind of be not that interested. But I think against Zach Davies, it's very, very viable. And the opposite side of that game is very viable as well. If you want to necessarily, we want to look at a pitcher that's going to be popular, it's going to be Robbie Ray. People just recognize the name. They know it's K upside there. I think Milwaukee stack is very much in play as well at home. I think that's interesting. And then the last spot that maybe you look at is you look at St. Louis. You look at St. Louis and you say maybe people are going to pitch Maeda, and you get yourself maybe a quick pair of Matt Carpenter and Jed Yurko, whose prices are very much down because they haven't been, you know, swatting the ball like they were earlier in the year. So I think that there's places for leverage in basically just describing, you know, and deciding like, okay, these are the pitchers that people are going to like, and therefore they're not going to be attracted to the bats, right? That's one point of leverage. Like saying, I know you're going to like this pitcher, but I'm actually going to play against him in this spot. Like, I'm going to play my bats against him. So I think that that is a very, very, you know, an interesting way to possibly gain some variance on the field tonight. And you want variance. Like, you know, the probability that the probability of these things happening is very strange. But listen, every single night this week, we've seen an under-owned offense go for over 10 runs. Okay, an under-owned offense go for over 10 runs. Variance pays off. Variance pays off, and you have to try to find those leverage spots. So, you know, with that in mind, let's go ahead and head over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can build ourselves a quick lineup here. And obviously, like, I'm just going straight to DeGrom, guys. Like, I'm not going to get cute with this. Like, I'm going straight to Jake DeGrom. I know he may not play, but if it plays, like, there's just no reason not to play him. And obviously, we'll see what we can do. Oh, wow. Wait a second. It's looking like Kenta Maeda, by the way. Okay, yeah, he's coming off the DL. Sorry, he's got a DL tag right now, which is interesting because of his hammy. Oh, wow. That might put people off of Maeda, by the way. That might put people off Maeda. Okay, so let's say we got DeGrom, right? That gives us 3K basically per bat to figure out what we want to do here. And obviously, I want to start with Boston. I just think you need these Boston bats tonight. You really do. And I'm going to go to that three-man, you know, Pedroia. Where is he? Pedroia, Bogarts, and Benintendi. That 2-3-4 combo. I like those guys. They've been really productive right now. And in fact, I'm going to punt. Well, no, Sandy Leon has been getting taken out of the game. He's getting pinch hit. So I was going to punt catcher with Sandy Leon. But let's look for a viable punt catcher here. Oh, I know where I'm going for catcher. I'm going straight to Detroit. I'm going James McCann, baby. James McCann. Hopefully he'll be in the lineup. Who knows? We'll see if it's him or... Yeah, actually, Alex Avila's got a hand. So James McCann should be in the lineup. Okay, great. Now, I've got $2,700 left per position, which isn't exactly ideal. It's not, you know, not a very good sum. And there's, for salary relief on this slate, there's not a ton. There's not a ton, to be sure. But maybe one of the things that we do, hold on one second, let me look at this. That would be really nice. I'd look at our first and third pair of Thames and Shaw. That would be sweet because people are going to be off of them, but they're just too expensive for me right now. The Milwaukee outfield is pretty inexpensive. Hernan Perez and Domingo Santana at 3,200 each are pretty, that's pretty appealing to me. Obviously the Arizona outfield is still pretty cheap. But let's go ahead and let's look. I mean, I think we have to have some of these Detroit bats in here, guys. It just, oh my God, Justin Upton at 2,800 immediately. Get him in there for me. Justin Upton at 2,800. And then Miggy, where's Miggy at first base? Miggy, 3,900 is pretty pricey for sure. But I think he's worth it. I don't know if he is. I don't know if I can pay for that. But let's see, actually, let's look at the St. Louis lineup. We get Matt Carpenter and Jed Yurko. That's kind of pricey, too. Can't really do that. Okay, Justin Upton, 2,800, and James McCann at 2,500. That's really pretty nice. So let's go ahead and see what we got as far as value outfielders here in this one. We are got $2,600 per man. So basically, oh, here we go. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. Let's go Mets. Let's go Mets. Lucas Duda, Wilmer Flores, and then in the outfield, I got one more spot for my man. Where is he? Curtis Granderson just out of reach. Just out of reach at 2,800. God, that would have been so nice. That would have been so nice. Let me see. Hold on. Let's see. We're going to have to find another cheap outfielder at 2,700. $2,700 outfielder in a matchup that I like. I'm not playing Tommy Pham. Oh, I know. Where's those Detroit outfielders? Tyler Collins should be in the lineup against a righty. That's for sure. Tyler Collins in the lineup against a righty. So that's not bad at all, guys. I mean, that works pretty well for me as far as, you know, just... yeah, I think this works. You get DeGrom, okay? I got my Mets and Lucas Duda and Wilmer Flores at first and third. They've been very productive of late. I got my Boston stack, Pedroia, Bogarts, Benintendi, the base movers. Those guys are chugging around the bases. And I've got my a little bit of Detroit exposure and McCann and Upton and Tyler Collins. So that's not bad. That's not bad at all. I like that lineup quite a bit, especially with DeGrom at the helm. You got a lot of bats that are in productive spots. Here's the thing. How much leverage do I have on the field with this lineup? Not very much. If I want to get a little bit of leverage, I'm going to have to find another spot, another pitcher that possibly is going to go a little bit lower owned in this one. So maybe let's look at Kenta Maeda. Michael Wacha is very interesting. He was a lower owned pitcher. I don't know how much I trust him against the Dodgers, but he's been pretty consistent lately. Drew Pomerantz is also on my radar as far as, you know, that whole thing goes. I think he's interesting for sure. But let's go with Maeda. I think that Maeda is the most interesting spot. I'm going to clear out my bats. And what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to take a core of this. I'm going to take that Detroit stack at the core. Okay, I'm going to take the Detroit stack at the core, and basically all I'm going to do is I'm going to keep McCann and Upton, and I'm going to add Miggy, and then I'm going to add JD Martinez. Okay, now I got to go find some leverage somewhere here, and I think one of the leverage spots that I want to look is at Milwaukee, right? If I'm predicting that people are going to be interested in Robbie Ray, then obviously maybe I can find some leverage here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab Sogard. Hopefully he's in the lineup. I don't know if him or Arcia has been starting lately. It's been Sogard. So I'm going to grab, or actually no, it has been Arcia, hasn't it? No. Well, let's see. Yeah. Sogard, they've been platooning it. So it's probably going to be Arcia. Okay, so I'm going to get Arcia in there. I'm going to get Keon Broxton, Domingo Santana, Hernan Perez. I'm going to see basically which one of these guys, you know, grades out the best. But one of these guys at 3,200, they're all the exact same price, which is really appealing to me. And then at third base, I'm going to take Travis Shaw. So I have a nice little four-man stack there for the... or a three-man stack for the outfielders. And then, actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and get off of Arcia, and let me go to Jonathan VR. And then I have $2,900 shortstop one-off, and I can easily get Chris Owings right there. Chris Owings in the top of the lineup for them. So that's kind of an interesting lineup. And I, you know, what I'm doing here is I'm projecting that half of my lineup is going to be chalky and half of my lineup is going to have leverage. Okay. Kenta Maeda, James McCann, Miguel Cabrera, Jonathan VR, Travis Shaw, Chris Owings, JD Martinez, and Justin Upton. Now, obviously if I wanted to pivot off of James McCann, I could very easily get in, Kinsler or Castellanos. And actually that's an interesting idea, right? I mean, I could just go off of VR and get to a different catcher and then plug in Kinsler or Castellanos there. So I like that idea also, because let me see how much Castellanos costs. Are you kidding me? $2,700 for fucking Nick Castellanos? Like, that is just such a good, unbelievably good price. Oh my God, what are we doing? You guys, this Detroit stack is not expensive. I don't know how else to say this. I don't know what else, like, I don't know what you guys want me to do. It's too cheap. It's too cheap. And then I can upgrade my, I got John VR and Hernan Perez. It's, you know, okay, fine. I can upgrade my shortstop back up to Xander Bogaerts so I create correlation across my lines. And then I still have $2,700 left at catcher. And maybe Manny Pena. There's a hard-hitting righty. It's all, guys, you know, you have to get a little bit creative, a little bit aggressive. And obviously the Detroit stack is not that aggressive tonight. We know people are going to know this. But the Milwaukee exposure is a little bit aggressive. It's different. The, you know, the exposure to the St. Louis team, for example, could be different. So I think there's interesting spots to target. You know, you take those spots where you get low ownership and you have, you know, two, three, four guys in your lineup that are going to be low owned, and then boom. You know, and I talked about this during basketball season. For those of you who listen during basketball season, I talked about the leverage of having one or two guys that are super productive that come at super low ownership. And there is, it's an incredibly important thing to have in your lineup at any DFS sport, because the combination of, you know, predictability and leverage is kind of the sweet spot of where you want to be in DFS. All right, so that's it for me. Good luck in your contest tonight, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you tomorrow.